wasn't ready to be no millionaire. I was ill prepared. I was prepared to be ill, though. The skill was there at the beginning. It was
impacting. It's kind of funny. I was listening to that song on the way up to Madison and was thinking, man, if this was going to be a close knockdown drag out fight, that would be a great intro for the podcast if Iowa held on to win, and here we are.
But yeah, but you did call a low scoring game. I didn't. I saw more offense.
And yeah, you know, it was even lower than I predicted. I've been pretty good on my predictions. I predicted a close, low scoring 3-point Iowa win. I think I had 20-17. I would not have believed it if somebody told me that Iowa wasn't going to allow a touchdown to Wisconsin in Madison.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I think this was the ugliest game I'd seen since the Ferencian 6-4 victory over Penn State. And was that 04?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I think both teams left a lot of points out on the field. I mean, literally a number of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those games where I kept, my son was with me, and I kept turning to him in the fourth quarter going, I don't think they can dodge another bullet. They can't dodge another bullet. And damn if they didn't go Matrix on him and just kept dodging those bullets.
Well, welcome to 12 Saturdays, episode 6. I'm James Blake.
I'm Tori Brecht.
And we are happy, you know, take a win and run with it. I'm glad that you and Spencer enjoyed that in person, and, you know, we can talk. I know we're going to analyze the game, but, you know, you and I both know the real reason why Iowa won that game.
Because you didn't go.
Exactly. I'm sitting up there next to you, and they punch it in, and it's 13-10, and we're scrambling for overtime. You know that's how it goes down if I'm there, right?
We've got to fix that. I'm actually thinking of going up to Northwestern. I don't know. Do you have the cojones? Oh, you're traveling, aren't
you? Yeah, I won't be available for Northwestern. I don't know. What's our next good? I mean, Indiana? No, they don't. Yeah. They don't look like a gimme anymore either.
No. Is there such a thing as a gimme anymore?
Well,
for anybody.
That's a good point. I mean, Purdue looked pretty solid, against Michigan State. I guess the softest game left is Maryland?
Nebraska.
Maryland? Oh, let's say Nebraska. Yeah, Nebraska. That's the only gimme left on the schedule.
Yeah, they'll find a way to shit the bed, won't they? They'd certainly be finding new and inventive ways to do it.
Well, if we're down by anything less than 8 points with a minute to play, I'll be like, yeah, we got this. I guess that
couldn't happen to a better fan base.
No,
either,
I know.
Right? You know, and it's true though, Jim. They were tired of those 9-win seasons under Bo Pelini, and they got their wish.
See,
they ain't getting 9 wins this year.
Yeah, well, this bothers me because this is just more ammunition for the, you know, be happy with what you got 7-5 crowd when we have those years, because because it's just like, look at what they did with Pelini. So let's go back to Wisconsin though. Because, you know, truth be told, it was ugly, but yet I didn't realize it until I listening to the announcers and following it later and watching the replay, is that, you know, I was right in one of my predictions, which was that Wisconsin was just not going to be able to run on us. And that they were going to have to put that on Stave. I actually thought that he was going to not turn it over 4 times. But it really looked bad. A lot of defense, and I understand we were disrupting them, they were disrupting us. But still, it was a sloppy football game. And for that, I just point to just crushing penalties. I mean, they had an interception callback on a penalty. We had a penalty. We had a false start on a third and short from inside the 5. So, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody had just a sloppy game.
Yeah, you know, I think some of that is actually the nature of the rivalry, and I think some of that was because of how evenly matched these teams were this year. And in fact, they've been pretty evenly matched here lately, with Wisconsin seeming to have the trump card in having that super special player, you know, a Melvin Gordon,
yeah,
or that Abraditis guy that killed us catching the ball,
yeah.
Abraditis a couple years ago. You know, they kind of had that edge. With they didn't have that this year. And I think, you know, it became just a battle of attrition. Who could smash each other the most? Who could force the other team to make mistakes? You know, I think even the penalties had something to do with the level of pressure and intensity going on in the game. So, I mean, I described it in my column this week as a Cro-Magnon football game, and it really was. I mean, it was just two evenly matched teams really going at it. And, you know, I know some folks are kind of down on Iowa and on the offense because of that performance, but hey, is on the road against a good team and you found a way, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and CJ obviously didn't have a great game, but you know what? Good enough. One touchdown, two turnovers to Stave, zero touchdowns and four turnovers. We'll take it, right?
Well, not only that, but I mean, you know, remember, he's playing without his number one wide receiver threat and Tavon Smith being out, and he's playing without his starting left tackle. I mean, those, if you're a starting quarterback, those are two of your big safety blankets, right? Your left tackle protects your blind side, and your number one wide receiver makes the big plays for you. That's tough. It was windy there as well. I haven't heard many people talk about that, but I think that affected both quarterbacks, especially when they tried to make longer throws. And I think we've seen enough of CJ now that I'm not really worried that this is some kind of sign that he's a bad quarterback.
No,
I think he had
a bad day.
Didn't work.
And you know, and that guy, I forget his name, that their defensive end was just basically in the backfield all day.
Oh, that Schaubert. Yeah, he's amazing.
So, but you know, I still would take CJ over Stavi's day. I mean, he looked atrocious.
And Kanzeri
had a quietly very productive. I mean, he didn't find the end zone, but 127 yard. I mean, he was, by the end of the game, he was putting together nice 3, 4, 5, 6 yard runs. And so that was, I think that was the difference, is we could do that and they could.
Yeah, and it's funny because my son was complaining in the first half when Iowa seemed like they were hitting a few passes. He's like, why do they keep running it like 1, 2, 3 yards? And I said, well, wait until the fourth quarter. And those 1, 2, and 3 yard runs are going to become 4, 5, and 6 yard runs. And they did. And, you know, if Iowa had held on to the ball a little better and cut out some of the mistakes, you know, I think they might have cruised to a little bit better of a margin of a victory. But, you know, I think, you know, the offensive line was blasting Wisconsin out. And I don't know if you saw the quotes today that Schaubert had made. He actually said that he thought Iowa's offensive line was tougher than Alabama's. He said, ooh, Alabama was big, strong, and physical, but Iowa looked to maul you, is what he said. Is that, I guess, you know, this is one for the people that want to see the bullies of the Big Ten come back. He basically said, yeah, Alabama's big, athletic, and strong, but maybe they don't have the mean streak that Iowa does. And
that,
boy,
awesome.
You can't get higher praise than that, especially from a team that likes to run the ball and knows good offensive line play when they see it in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then I thought that was great. Desmond King, who, by the way, we talk about individual standouts, another two interception game, you know, and it, even when he wasn't picking him off, did you see some of the tackles that guy is? He's just Bob Sanders body slamming guys out there, and he's just, and I didn't know, I must have spaced off on it, Tori. I thought he was a senior. So I didn't realize he was a junior, because I guess he played as a true freshman a couple years ago. I thought he was a redshirt and that was a sophomore.
If he keeps playing at this level, we might lose him.
might lose him anyway.
I mean, as good as Iowa has been at, and even putting guys in the NFL, you know, from the secondary, he's the most closest thing to a shutdown corner I can remember Iowa maybe ever had.
No, I mean, Amari Spivey was kind of shut down. And
close.
Godfrey was another.
Micah Hyde. Excellent. I don't know that I've seen a guy that could cover on and make interceptions on passing and support the run as good as we're seeing with King right now. It's truly amazing.
Yeah, no, he's having a great time. But, you know, just setting all that aside, I think he made a quote about, we're back, bullies of the Big Ten are back. And to me, that struck me immediately because, you haven't heard that since Bob Sanders said it. Since that era, and B, that's our domain name. I couldn't believe when we were setting up this podcast that nobody had bulliesoftheBig10.com and that it wasn't set up for an Iowa podcast or a fan site. Right. So, score.
Well,
thanks for the publicity, Des.
Yeah. Did you happen to see what Brian Ferentz said about it, though? That was kind of funny.
No. What did he
in a Sports Illustrated article, and he was kind of downplaying it a little bit, and he said, you know, it doesn't really count until another team calls you that because you can't give yourself your own tough nickname, which is kind of funny. Yeah. So, you know, I like the fact, though, the coaches aren't, you know, 5-0 and everybody's feeling good and they're ranked again, but the coaches aren't going to let them get too cocky, I don't think. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And it was great. So, well, let's toast this one. And then we can talk about, you know, kind of the rest of the season and expectation. Or is there something else you wanted to cover about this game?
Yeah, you know, before we toast it, and, you know, I know we kind of joked about you not coming to the game and bringing your negative vibes on it. But I'm telling you, Jim, we got to get you to an away game because especially in Madison. But there really is no better feeling as a sports fan than being in the vocal small minority of happy people and just owning it. You know, your team comes over into the corner and there's 80,000 Badger fans kind of moping around, and it's just, and then walking around the town afterwards just with, you know, it's kind of pathetic that you like take some sort of like personal pride out of something that you personally didn't actually do.
Well, you know, first I'll just two comments on that. One, that's got to be like the real world equivalent of going to another team's message board when you win.
Yes.
Number one, and number two, yeah, I've certainly paid my dues on the other side of that coin with Central Michigan, Iowa State, every Big Ten team, Nebraska last year,
right,
and just, you know, the last couple of years, I've certainly been on the receiving end of that. So, yes, I definitely want to do it. And if nothing else, you know, aims in 2017, you know, at a minimum, if not before. So, I definitely want to do it.
We'll get you to one of those games, and you can experience it for yourself. But I wanted to touch on Madison just being a great road trip, and they were actually pretty subdued this time. I think the 11 a.m. start and everything like that, and maybe not having a great team, but you know, you hear horror stories. But for my money, I still think it's the best road trip in the Big Ten outside of Iowa City.
All right. Well, and your son had a good time, I take it. Any other pithy observations on his first football game away from Kinnick?
No, not really. You know, I think he actually was remarking on how much louder Kinnick is than Camp Randall. And I said, you know, at night games and stuff, it gets pretty loud. But I think Camp Randall's a little overrated as a intimidating venue. You know, for one thing, the seats are pretty far away from the field itself because they used to have that track around there, and then that huge upper deck's pretty far away, and their student section doesn't show up till almost the third quarter, and then they're more interested in all their fun little games than they are actually paying attention. So
yeah, well, did he like the jump around at least? I mean,
yeah, I mean, but you know, it's a different atmosphere than Kinnick. I think Kinnick is more football pure. Camp Randall might be more of an overall spectacle.
And did you drag him around to the concession stands that you worked at as a boy and show him the hellhole that you...
No. You know, things had changed quite a bit there. So, you know, not as many vendors and child labor like it was back in the 80s when I was a kid.
Well, we need to toast this game, and we need to toast that the Cubs just won the play-in and they will be in the the National League playoffs. So,
and I have tickets for the second game at Wrigley coming up here. So
I'm gonna have to start being extra nice to you now. So all right, well, let's do a special toast then, and we can talk about some of the other things going on in football. Well, Tori, you know, at the beginning of the year, I would have picked Wisconsin probably as our toughest game. I mean, it's a road game. You're going against the defending West champ. I mean, obviously, we didn't expect Clement to be injured. But, you know, what do you think is the toughest game remaining?
You know, I think right now you've got to say Northwestern, don't
you?
They have arguably the best resume in the Big Ten right now. They're undefeated. They beat a real good Stanford team that's just been whooping on people.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Duke on the road, who's an okay team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Northwestern's offense is really going to scare anybody, but their defense is certainly the real deal. So, and that's always a tough place to play for Iowa. So, yeah, that's the big pitfall that I see.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, certainly Indiana and Purdue raised some eyebrows last weekend. Not, you know, just as, wow, you know, these guys could on any, you know, they could catch anybody napping. And, of course, you know, Nebraska is a team that's in a downward spiral right now. But, you know, they've got plenty of talent, you know, and if it just
they
all
sure
came
do.
Together.
Yeah, they do.
And they would stop getting in, get out of their own way, then maybe, you know. But I think to your point, you know, we're 5-0. I picked us to be 7-5. That's not happening. I just don't see that. I mean, even I would say it's not impossible. I mean, this team is very thin. We've discussed that. I mean, you start to see a lot of injuries, and suddenly, you know. But for the most part, I mean, the roof would have to collapse and the wheels would have to come off, and, you know, that's the meltdown scenario, 7-5 at this point. So realistically, I'm probably moving into the 8-4, 9-3 camp. What does that get you this year?
Well, first of all, you know, I think at some point you have to start believing in your eyes. Okay. And what we've seen already from this Iowa team is they're going to find a way. And I'm not saying that means they're going undefeated. I'm not saying they're going to win every game. But, you know, last year you had to believe your eyes that they were going to screw something
find
up,
a way to
make
choke.
Some mistakes, and choke. And, you know, you kept thinking, well, you know, if we get things put together, then we'll be okay. And then they weren't. But I'm saying the corollary is true. You know, adversity, players getting injured, things like this happening. And Iowa is rising above and finding a way. Yeah. You know, they let Pitt get back in the game. They found a way. They kicked the last second field goal. You know, Iowa State punched them punch for about three quarters. Then Iowa found a way and pulled away. Same thing with the Wisconsin game. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it would be almost impossible to see this team collapse barring major injuries or that.
Yeah, and, you know, I go back to is it sounds ridiculous, but the 2002 Ohio State team. Do you remember how everybody was like, these guys have no business being undefeated? They have no business being undefeated. And every game, it's like they're not this good. They're going to get exposed. Yep. They're living too close to the edge. And yet they didn't lose.
Just found a way.
They just keep fighting. So with a whole bunch of, can you name anybody from that team? I mean, it was
right.
Maurice Claret got suspended from that team. I don't remember anybody that actually played on it. So,
well,
I mean,
when when you start talking about what is the record going to look like, I said last week that if Iowa found a way to win in Madison, it would be very hard for me to not start thinking about a double digit win season. I mean, I think 10 wins is seriously in play at this point. I mean, you have to lose two more to get that. And certainly there could be two losses in there. I think, you know, we've mentioned Northwestern on the road. We mentioned Indiana on the road, Nebraska on the road. But you know, it's hard to see. It's hard for me to see anything more than two or three losses, barring something really going wrong.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And so I'm probably, let's say I'm in the solid 8-4 and leaning 9-3 camp right now. I mean, what's mm-hmm. really going to solidify it for me is if we see the offense light up Illinois on Saturday, then I'll be like, okay, yeah, that was just a combination of Wisconsin's defense, bad weather, and just an off day.
Yeah.
But if we see another kind of, what was it, a 9 for 21 and 77 yards from CJ, then I'll think, well, maybe he's just like pads his stats against North Texas, and when Tavon's out, he doesn't have anybody to throw to. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. You know, I don't think this Iowa team is good enough to just kind of roll people.
No.
I really don't. And I think you're seeing, like I mentioned, with your left tackle out and your starting wide receiver out, you're going to struggle. Now, the question is, are we going to start getting these guys back? It sounds like Smith should be back after the bye week, which will be Maryland. Sucks to not have him for Northwestern.
Yeah.
I think Boone Myers is already practicing again. Hopefully they Daniels keeps getting a little better.
Ott is already, I mean, I'd say he's probably 80%. He did have a strip sack and fumbles, and he was a force back there. So, I mean, if we can just, he says he's getting better every day. And
sure.
And then, I guess, did you say Daniels? Because, I mean, he's still, I mean, at least he saw some carries and gives Canzeri a break, but he's still not looking like big first game, first or second
right,
week.
No. And so, I mean, I think, you know, that's going to tell a lot. Is
did Doozy play?
Some guys back and not, yeah, Doozy played. He didn't get any targets, but he's working his way back in. So start getting guys back, hopefully not get any other major injuries. And I think we've got more than a good chance in every game. And that's pretty exciting to me. And to kind of touch on what you were talking about, when you looked at the Purdue game and the Indiana game, you know, I think we're entering a time when there is more parity in college football. I think, you know, you still have your blue bloods and your great teams, but think about some of the teams that are kicking butt now. You know, you're seeing the Baylors and TCUs of the world get good. You're seeing Oregon maybe take a little bit of a step back. Florida and Texas are, well, Florida's doing Florida's well now, fine. But now Texas is off the map. I mean, any given Saturday, it feels like, you know, teams can hang with each other.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of a new dynamic. It's the new normal. And, you know, I think this time last year, you definitely would have said Florida and Michigan, although those teams seem to be slowly kind of getting their act together. I guess you might throw Penn State into that mix, and definitely
Nebraska.
Well,
here's an interesting stat. You remember how Tennessee absolutely blasted Iowa. They're, I think, 2-3. Iowa's 5-0. Who would have picked that after watching that?
Yeah, especially given the youth of that team. So.
And that brings me to my other point is I am going, as long as Iowa keeps winning, I mean, I'm on 12-0 getting the playoffs, man. I mean, until they lose, because last year sucked so bad. I am going to enjoy every minute of this for as long as I can.
All right.
I'm telling everybody, milk it, enjoy it, eat hockey, have fun.
Because, you know, the odds are in our favor that they're going to break our hearts eventually. So until that happens, ride it through. I agree. So, yeah, and, you know, I mean, I hear people saying, I saw somebody projected Iowa in the Rose Bowl, which would be just crazy, but...
Well, this is probably sacrilege to especially any of our younger listeners, but I'd rather go to the Rose Bowl than the playoff myself, because as a kid growing up in a Big Ten town and attending a Big Ten university, the Rose Bowl is it. I just want to... one day see my team come out with the sun going down behind the San Gabriel's there. And
yeah, I saw that thread, and there's a lot of people like, are you nuts? Go for the playoffs. Yeah, but you go in the playoffs and you get eliminated the first round, and you're going to spend the rest of your life going, what if we were in Pasadena? Because we've done that for both,
see a game there,
both Orange Bowls. We felt that way, right?
Oh yeah,
well, it's great, we're in the Orange Bowl, oh, we got spanked by USC, oh, we beat Georgia Tech, but the whole time we're like, yeah, but it could have been, it should have been. So
yeah.
All right, well, this is you know, and let's comment on one other thing. You raised it and I raised it. Let's tell our audience, you know, it's funny how internet, podcast, and everything, traffic, just Twitter, everything just kind of drops off the map when the team is doing well. And I don't know what to call that phenomenon, but
well, I think Kinker,
Kinker commented on it last year too, is that he said, yeah, impressions are insane when the team is bad, because people want to relish in, you know, criticism and failure, cynicism and negativity. It just kind of, it's kind of becomes this cycle that feeds on itself. Whereas when you beat Iowa State, when you beat Wisconsin, people talk about it for a day or two, and then they just kind of go about their lives. I don't know what.
Well, what's
is
interesting
called.
To me about it, Jim, is that it shows you that deep down, fans tend to still be like crazily optimistic from the standpoint that they actually subconsciously somehow expect their team to win every single game against every single opponent. Yeah. And that, so that in a way, it's really not a surprise, because it's like, well, yeah, of course they went and beat last year's West Division champions,
because we're better
we're freaking
than
Iowa. We're out. That's what we're supposed to do. We just quit screwing up. And it's the same phenomenon that I brought up, that when you go on opposing teams' message boards after a loss, they never have a word to say about how good your team played. It's just how they screwed it up, what they did wrong, how you did, you know. And that's the nature of being a fan, I guess, is that you're so myopic on your team's performance, and that, you know, you it's almost impossible to give anybody credit. And then on the corollary to that is when your team does do well, well, they're just doing what they're supposed to do naturally. They're supposed to be awesome.
That is the norm. That is the status quo. I also think there's something, and I pick on this a little bit because I see this at work too, which is there's something about just the internet and that kind of conversational and tribal element of the internet that brings out this idea that if you're cynical and critical and negative, you're somehow smart and paying attention and more dialed in than somebody who's optimistic, trying to see the bright side, trying to find the silver lining. It's like those guys are the naive idiots, right?
So when you
have a team that's doing well and you're like, yeah, you know, CJ had a good game, Kansas City ran well, the defense looks solid, then everybody's just kind of like, yeah, this guy's got nothing to add here. I don't have to listen to him. So,
right. Well, if you think about the internet as being the place where you go to have a platform to speak your mind, which it is, you know, I work in city government now, and it's kind of like we talk about with city council meetings. The only time the city council chamber is filled is when people are pissed off about something. Nobody's coming down to go, you know what? Great job cleaning those streets and making sure that we're all safe with the police officers and responding to these fires. You guys are doing a heck of a job. So 50 of us pack council chambers to tell you, keep it up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how it works.
Nobody comes out to pat you on the back and tell you you're doing great. And that's just kind of the nature of things. But it is funny that we see this just across the board. We see it with our podcast. You were commenting on, you know, last year it was like, you know, on different message boards was on there like 5, 6, 7 times a day. Now it's like you go back the second or third time, you're like, yeah, there's nothing new here today. Move on to something else.
Nothing to say, just, you know, Iowa having a record-breaking year start they haven't had in, you know, 6 years, but hey, what's to say?
Well, I tell you what, let's spin the wheel. Who spun last time? Was it?
Oh, I don't know. We go through this every time. I think you did last time because you said I was a wheel hog. So I guess it's my turn.
All right, go ahead and spin the wheel.
What's wrong? It's not working.
Well, did you just reboot it? Turn it off and turn it back on.
All right, I'll try this.
All right.
I can't get it to turn. What are we gonna do? We can't have one of our chosen spins. We're gonna have to punt. I'm telling you, Jim, the damn thing won't turn.
All right, well, what you did to it. We'll call it a, you know, technological difficulties, and we'll just have to punt. Do you know anybody? Do you have any schlubs that we could call? Any patsies that could take the fall on this one?
Well, you know, it could be fun. We could call our old friend Flick Shagwell from the Hawkeye Report that abandoned his tickets, bitched about Kirk Ferentz, and took his talents to Los Angeles.
Yeah, we should call him and see if he's converted to USC and how that's working out for him. Let's see if we can give him a call. And plus, we can also discuss his self-imposed exile from every other form of Hawkeye message boards, which I think he has some secret accounts. Well, let's give him a call. All right, so hey, Flick, welcome. Welcome to 12 Saturdays.
And you're actually back in God's time zone currently, right?
I am indeed. I'm here for work in Chicago, but I can't stay for the Illinois game, which is a bummer.
Oh, that's a bummer. But at least the city's got to be going nuts right now. Are you going to get any sleep tonight, or is it just like one big party?
It seemed like it. I'm in Skokie, so I'm about as far away from cool in Chicago as you can get, but... Yeah, the lobby of the hotel seemed to be going pretty wild.
Well, one of the things we wanted to kind of harass you about, Flick, is that, you know, you've been kind of one of the ringleaders on the, you know, Ferentz has to go bandwagon, not having a lot of belief. In fact, you know, even took your talents and moved to Los Angeles. I mean, I know it was work related, but you weren't having too much of a problem turning your back on the Hawkeyes after last season, but Boy, what? How are you feeling now?
I'm so thrilled to eat whatever crow anybody wants to serve up. I will own that. But I do want to say it wasn't after last season. It was after last five seasons. I mean, I put in my time. I gave them as many chances as possible. So, I'm
relate
thrilled.
To that. I can relate to that. So.
Well, and we teased, but let's be honest, a lot of the things that we all had been complaining about from one level or another, some people more intensely, some people less, problems have been addressed and fixed. And I'm not saying that the Ferentz and the coaches listened to the fans and acted accordingly, but it does appear that they, too, saw some of the same deficiencies and problems and have actively worked at fixing it, which is making everybody happy now, right?
I think that's 100% accurate. I will say, I don't know if you have any LA area listeners other than myself. We watch at the iClub game, watching Santa Monica at Barney's every Saturday. I was one of the people when he was going for it on fourth and what was it, two down there on the goal line. I was one of the people, kick the field goal, take the points, you're on the road. is that old Kirk and me coming out all of a sudden? Is he more of a gunslinger, loose cannon guy than I am? Even?
Oh, the world has gone full circle. So for me, you know, I actually think you're wrong, Tori. I think he was listening not to the fans, but to me personally. And just my posts and my podcast comments. Because every single thing that I articulated, which is, you got to beat Iowa State. You got to beat your non-conference. You got to, you know, take more risks, especially when you're on the road against ranked posts. You see, all of this is coming true. Why they're not paying me $4 million for this, I don't know.
I know. I mean, it's kind of crazy that, you know, it's like, you know what we should do this year? Beat Iowa State. Let's start with that. That's a good idea. That was stellar advice, James.
Well, you know, I tried to help.
Brilliant.
So what is the football scene like out there? I had the chance to go to Pacific Beach Ale House for an Iowa game watch one time, a little north of San Diego there. That was a lot of fun. You're finding some fellow Hawk fans out there?
Yeah, it's actually a blast. For your bigger games, obviously, Wisconsin and Iowa State, I'd estimate we had 100 Iowa fans in there. So that's actually kind of cool. It's a way to, I don't know, meet people that you wouldn't and kind of network a little bit. So yeah, it's a cool little scene they got.
Yeah, the last game I watched out there, I think, was on my iPad from the Meridian Delfina conference room, unfortunately. But how do you address the time zone difference? I mean, because the games are starting at like 9 a.m. I mean, that starts to feel like a job.
Yeah, we're up by 7 and in the car by 8 so that we can get down there by 9. But you know, I would wake up at 2 in the morning if there was a lot of stock.
Because traffic on the 10, even on a Saturday, I mean, what a bitch, right?
Yeah, well, actually, the 9 a.m. games out there are better, but once you're after noon, then, yeah, you're sitting in traffic all day.
So a question I had for you, Flick, is since you've been out there in Los Angeles, have you had a chance to go to UCLA or USC and get a feel for how they do the whole tailgating college football thing out there?
I was supposed to go to the USC Washington game, which is tomorrow night, Thursday night. Not sure when this is going to air, but, work called. So I had to travel, been to the Rose Bowl, not for a game, just to kind of take it in and imagine. So I'm still excited to get those chances and we're going to go to a couple games later in the season.
Dude, are you a stadium stalker? Did you sneak up there when they were closed and peek in the windows?
Absolutely. Yeah, my Facebook account will show me stalking a lot of stadiums when I'm out of town.
He was a stadium stalker at Kinnick. Remember you always jog by it and try to peek in at practice and stuff?
Wait, was it? Do you remember when we had the natural grass and somebody sprayed weed killer from Iowa State? Was that, did you see that happening?
No, that's even beyond my level of brazenness.
Well, hopefully we can get you back into the Midwest for a game. This is looking like it might be a pretty special season, Flick.
I've been seeing Holiday Bowl and, lest I say the R word, Rose Bowl predictions. I need to get you guys out to the West Coast to hang out with me and watch a game.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd even go to that poinsettia thing if we had to.
I'd even go to that. I'd even go to that. What are they? Kraft Hunger Fight
Foster Farms.
Foster Farm Fight Farms in the Levi's San Francisco Bowl. That's actually in the Silicon Valley game.
What Fight Farms? America needs farmers. We're not fighting farmers, Jim. That would be bad.
No, America needs our farmers. We don't need farmers out there because they're just growing like almonds and shit out in a desert. We need real farmers.
Here, here.
I do like. I do like avocados.
But yeah, I will be at the Nebraska game also in Lincoln.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count. You've got to be, I mean, I know you're a native of Nebraska. You've got to be just kind of drinking in their tears this season. I mean, what are you hearing from your family? Because I'll tell you, my family, Tori's got his blood connections to Wisconsin. So he's, you know, riding on cloud nine. I'm happy to beat Iowa State. And, you know, and I would say half of my other kin are coming from Illinois. So what are you hearing out of you know, Husker Nation? Are they all just kind of drinking Drano, or what's their mentality of that fan base right now?
Oh geez. I'm in a texting thread with my uncles, a cousin, and my dad and me, and we just watched college football all Saturday and let each other know our thoughts, and they're on suicide watch, the Nebraska fans are. And as much of a stadium stalker as I am, I'm also a Mets sports stalker. So I've definitely been over on the Husker site, and I'm giggling all day. I love it.
How, no matter how much we bitch about Kirk Ferentz, can you imagine him ever blowing a game as badly as Riley did? I mean, how can you lose a game that you're leading by six with the ball with 50 seconds left and the other team has no timeouts? How can that even happen?
That is, you know what, Tori? I don't mean to I don't mean to go negative because we're all in good spirits and we're all sitting at 5-0, but you know, how could you, could go back to the Central Michigan game and say, you know, how could you possibly lose a game when you're up by a with, you know, less than 2 minutes to play? And the answer is you can never, you know, the answer
team,
is pretend like,
pulled off.
No, the answer is pretend like onside kicks don't exist, I guess is the answer in our case.
An onside kick has an element of luck and chance that goes against you. Nebraska, all they had to do was run the ball.
Yeah.
All one time and punt. And how can you screw that up? You
run the ball one time and punt and not give up like a 48-yard pass play on the first play from scrimmage.
Did you get a chance to watch that game by any chance, Flick?
I'm not going to lie. We were partying pretty hard after our game. I was checking scores on my phone, but we were at a beach or a bar on the beach, so that wasn't priority number one, but I've since seen it, and God, that was funny. I wish I could have watched it live.
So I actually thought that story was going to end with you getting thrown out of wherever that was, because you kind of have a reputation.
No,
now
I'm a married guy and fairly responsible now. That was if it was 6-7 years ago, yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
Clean slate then, huh? You left all that You left all your errant ways back in Kinnick?
I'd like to think so. I hope so. My wife hopes so.
But wait, you haven't seen Bowl Game Flick yet, though, Jim. Have you? Because I remember the Orange Bowl that you didn't make it to, the cold one in Miami, and we were supposed to meet Flick beforehand to do a little tailgating, but I think, what were you, about 7 hours in already?
We got started early. Man, that was the funnest time, though. We brought this massive table, and we had like 20-on-20 Slippy Cup going. Like, how are we not going to be just blotto by the time you showed up?
Well, he was 6 years ago, you know, so.
Yes, and then this was before the wife, and I just remember he was like wrestling with this girl, this cute blonde, who apparently was such a virulent racist that he kept calling her Ava Brown. That's my big memory from that.
Well, your memory probably trumps Flick's memory. I don't think Flick remembers anything.
The pictures are all I can go off of.
D- Do you remember Ava Brown though? What was it that got you calling her that?
She was just the foulest mouthed girl I've ever met, and calling everybody racist epithets.
Oh jeez. Well, you know.
But she was kind of hot and really drunk, and well, what the hell, right?
You know, guys will overlook a lot.
Tells the story. She was very hot. I might have had the goggles on though.
Ah, good times, good times. Yeah. Well, hey, maybe if all goes well, it'd be fun to see how many hours of tailgating we can put in Pasadena, huh?
Yeah, and we'll forgive you, you know, your drunken escapades, because you're Irish. What are you going to do? Whoa.
What are you going to do? Exactly. And the Hawks would be in the Rose Bowl. I'm not going to rein it in for that.
See, I was dropping some casual racism there, man. I just didn't pick up on it.
So. Not me, but it's the people are fine.
You're dirty Irish too, aren't you, Bladel?
Well, I guess. So I get to say the drunk word.
I'll give you the pass.
All right. Well, so now we got to put you on the spot. We're coming up against the hated Illini, and you know, aside from their miraculous win over Nebraska, they actually haven't looked terrible. I mean, they got exposed a little bit against North Carolina, which was their only major road game. So, what are your thoughts, pretender or contender?
I think they're a pretender. I think what's their stud wide receiver, that Dudek? He's not playing, is he?
He's out, and their number one tailback is out, which makes three number one tailbacks that Iowa's managed to miss so far this season, which is, hey, we'll take
bizarre.
It.
Yeah.
It's almost like the angry Iowa running back hating God is like working in reverse this year.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
We deserve it. We'll take whatever we can get.
You bet. But no, I was looking at Wes Luntz's numbers, and he's actually a worse quarterback statistically than Stave. So that was my main concern. Like, oh, is this guy going to pick us apart? Well, not really, from what I can tell. I think they're pretenders, and I like the Hawks in this one. Big.
Big, okay. So you got a score for us?
I'd say 31-10.
Wow. That's North Texas big.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it. We'll take that. So, who do you think is your standout? You think this is another Canzari game, or do you think CJ gets back on track?
There's only one way CJ can go from last week, and that's up. Dez King is kind of my dude. I know you're kind of asking about offense, but gosh, that guy can do it all. I think he's due to run one back, don't you guys?
Absolutely. We were just talking about him a little earlier in the podcast, and I was telling Jim that, you know, I think Iowa's had some great coverage corners before, and Iowa's had some great secondary players that could lay the lumber in the running game, but I don't remember a guy that could do both those things and return kicks and return punts. I mean, he's the real deal out there.
It's really... I was going to say, it's been like since Ramon Ochoa, I think, since there was a reason to stick around and not run grab a sandwich when the other team was punting. Mm-hmm. He's fun to watch. I like him.
Yeah, I think I think the closest comparison, I mean, as far as a corner, would have been like a Amari Spivey or Charles Godfrey, and then the run back ability almost have to go like to Micah Hyde, or when we had Kamonte Martin Manley running back punts. So I think... Yeah, between it's almost like, you know, you could combine all those into one player, and you got Dez King. And as I was telling Tori, I didn't realize he was not a senior. I thought he was a senior. He's actually a junior. But you know, if he keeps this up, he might take the payday.
I saw a link that said that he was a prospective number one draft pick, which I guess good for him, bad for us. I hope he hangs around.
Yeah. All right. Well. We certainly thank you. I hope we can get you back into the stadium, into Kinnick for another game. And, you know, we've got extra seats that got your name on it whenever, all you have to do is call. We've got couches for you to crash on, too, if it's a question of travel arrangements.
But for now, we'll plan on meeting in Pasadena on or about December 30th.
Let's go with that, yeah.
So, I'm all in, man. You read my column this week, Flick. I'm all in. Until they lose, they're not losing. Is it that profound?
That's, wow. I'm going to have to go meditate on that.
Is that
one.
Like a Yogi Berra quote? Until they lose, they're not losing.
That's absolutely true. I'll guarantee it.
Wow, that's like...
I like it.
All right. Well, thanks again for jumping on the podcast short notice. We always appreciate your wit and wisdom.
As long as you're in Chicago, you're kind of close to the Quad Cities. Do you know anything about fixing giant electronic wheels?
No, my prowess doesn't extend that far.
I think we need to kick it in the Bob Barker.
We're going to have to do something.
Hey, bring back the make a little money. I just love to hear that. I don't know why.
All right. Well, safe travels home. We know that you're getting up early to cheer for us against Illinois. I know that the fact that you have to get up bright and early at the crack of dawn isn't going to slow you down either from your commitments to the Hawkeyes or making sure that you're well lubricated for the rest of a football Saturday.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Fleck. Enjoy.
Hey, thank you, guys.
I think you're right. I think Flick picked the wrong year to move. Of course, it was, that whole career, marriage, life outside of Hawkeye. Apparently, people have these lives outside of football.
You know, I kind of think I did, too, when I was in my 30s. And once I hit 40, it was just like, I think I can actually just dedicate it to football. Kids are basically self-sustaining units.
After they learn to walk and make themselves a bowl of cereal, they kind of raise themselves, don't they?
I think so. What my job's done.
Yeah, I mean, you can take all the covers off the outlets, and you can take the baby gates off the stairs and just say, look, Dad's going to watch football and drink beer until he falls asleep and just entertain yourself.
Yes, that's life.
All right, well, pivoting to the Illinois game, we certainly like Flick's pick. He's picking Iowa big. I wish I felt that confident. I think we win, but I think it's more of a win by 10. So I'm going to go 30-20 on this one. I feel like we're going to score fairly readily against them, but I guess I see his point. It's like, it's not going to be West alone. So who's going to really kind of pick up the slack for them? And I don't really have an answer there, but Illinois just always seems to have that one talented player that comes out of nowhere. So I'll go 30-20.
You know, we're all kind of in alignment on this one, actually, because my predicted score that I submitted for Hawkeye Report this week, the roundtable, was 31-21. So we're all close. I think that it's going to be one of those games where I think Iowa's kind of comfortable throughout the whole thing. And then you look back and the score is only 10 points. You're like, oh, man, that was kind of close. You know, a lot of credit to Illinois, Jim, because, you think about a team that was so bad last year and then they had to get rid of their coach like right before the season started.
That's just weird.
I mean, everything that they've gone through, you got to kind of tip your hat to them for, finding a way. I think they kind of circled the wagons a little bit. I think actually the worst thing that happened to them in terms of being able to beat Iowa was beating Nebraska last week. That's a big emotional win against a named program at home. How much juice do they have left in the tank to come into Kinnick against a team that's clearly on a redemptive mission this year? I just don't think that they can hang despite them being a little tougher and a little more organized than they were last year.
Yeah, and you make a good point. I mean, it's possible that they exhausted all of their luck and good karma last week. And it won a game that really shouldn't have been even up for grabs. So,
well, and keep in mind, they scored 7 points against a really bad Nebraska defense for 3 quarters, 14 minutes and 10 seconds. So, I mean, in fact, now that I'm saying that out loud, I feel kind of silly giving them 21 points.
Well, but see, I look back at some of their non-conference games, which I admit the level of competition was lower. But when they were putting up, they were hanging half a century on a couple of them, and they, but then they went into North Carolina and got completely exposed. So maybe it is just a function of injury. Maybe it is just that they ran out of luck, or they went to that well too many times. But hey, so you know, there's a couple other big games coming up, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I think that they will shape up, you know, how things go in the West. Nebraska is taking on Wisconsin at home, and I believe Northwestern's on the road at Michigan.
Yes, that is correct.
If you had any thoughts about those two games, and who should we, I mean, if you assume that last weekend's result put Iowa in the driver's seat in the West, who should we be rooting for in those?
Well, I think I'll start with what I think's going to happen. I feel like the Badgers are better than they looked last week. I think that they're going to go into Lincoln and take out a team that's staggering a little bit. I like Wisconsin to go in there and right their ship. As far as who we should be cheering for, I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, if Wisconsin loses, they're basically completely out of it. Some folks think Nebraska's already out of it, right. So maybe we should be hoping for it, but I can't find it in my heart to cheer for Nebraska ever. So I think the Badgers will win, and I'm cheering for the Badgers to win. I'd like to see that.
All right. So I feel like for that game, I actually feel the opposite. I feel like Nebraska is going to circle the wagons at home. And Wisconsin, I think, definitely showed us that, you know, absent a decent running game, they're really just kind of a defense and Stave. And I feel like Nebraska's going to kind of string it together. They're going to give us the game that they had against, they're going to show us what they had against a little bit earlier in the season, and they're going to string it together and pull out a win at home. I don't know if I want that to happen, but I think you're correct that at two losses, it pretty much knocks Wisconsin, the preseason favorite in the West, just completely out of the title picture. So what about Michigan Northwestern?
You know, it's funny because I was kind of preaching about believe your eyes and don't let preconceived notions in the past kind of cloud your judgment. But damn it, I'm not believing in Northwestern. I'm not believing in them. I just can't. I think this is the week that the fun little, you know, hey, look at these hard charging little guys that are so good. I think this is the week it comes to an end. I think Harbaugh's got things figured out up there on defensive side for sure. Jake Ruddock lit up Northwestern last year.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to forget that. I think Michigan wins, and I think Michigan wins a little bit handily, actually. And if I want to be a huge jerk about it, I sure wouldn't mind seeing Northwestern get a few guys knocked around. Nothing serious, nothing season ending, but, you know, maybe they're a little bumped and bruised up for when Iowa comes into town. And you know, and from a karmic standpoint, you did hear about how Fitzgerald has them wearing their 95 Rose Bowl patches for the Iowa game in their special uniforms, right?
I hate that guy. That guy could be a real estate agent, and I would still hate that guy.
Yeah, stop. He's looking past the Big House and Michigan and Jim Harbaugh because of his creepy, obsessive hatred for Iowa breaking his leg by accident 20 years ago.
Yeah,
screw that guy, and I hope they get their ass kicked, and I'm saying they're going to.
Well, I'm with you on that one. I think that, you know, just, you know, they're both, you know, even though Northwestern's undefeated and has the better resume, I think Michigan is actually kind of stitching together the talent that we always knew they had, except maybe at quarterback. I think it's hilarious, by the way, that that we, you know, basically gift Michigan our second string quarterback for this year, and yeah, both schools get an upgrade in that position.
Well, what happens, Jim? What happens if that's the Big Ten championship game?
Then I say that it's an even push until CJ runs for the winning touchdown, because Jake could never do that. And then I would say,
how great of a story is that, though? I mean, if that actually happened, I mean, and for one, we'll be there, right? Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. But yeah, that would be the storyline to end it all. You know, a lot has to happen, like Michigan getting past Ohio State into the Spartans.
So I basically already have from now until the end of the year mapped out, Jim.
Okay.
After after we celebrate the Cubs finally winning the World Series for the first time in more than 100 years, we go to Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game, where Iowa and CJ take down Harbaugh and Jake Ruddock on our way then to Pasadena to meet up with Flick so that we can see the Hawkeyes finally avenge any number of losses to whatever Pac-10 team is going to be our Sacramento.
Let's say UCLA.
Land.
Let's say UCLA.
UCLA and the Ronnie Harmon game, and they fumble five times.
Yes.
And Iowa wins, and all is right in the world, and 2015 is the best frickin' year that has ever existed in all of
sports
history.
Boy, you know what? It makes me almost want to just, like, quit following any team ever if that happens, because you'll never top that again.
Well, I will have on one ass cheek a Hawkeye head with a rose in it, and on the other one, a Cubs World Series pennant. Ugh. So...
that's just,
I don't know how my wife's going to feel about the dual tattoo thing, but it's happening.
Well, you know, on all the notes we could possibly end this episode on, that's probably, you know, we could just call it at ass cheeks. How's that?
I'm good with that.
All right. Well, you know, I think we're in a good place. We're happy. We're sitting pretty, and let's keep the party going for another week. You know, I pity the Illini, and on Iowa.
Go Hawks.